Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. This Mishnah is extremely important because it relates to the ability to open up items on Shabbat. This is the central Mishnah in dealing with this issue, and that is Shuver Adam et Achavit. A person can break open a barrel, Lechom Hemena Gruguro, to eat from it pressed figs. Ubilvaj lo itkaven lasot kli. As long as you don't intend to make it into a kli, as it actually says in Okva Yafa, Bepetachna, that you don't try to cut it open in a nice way, so it'll create a nice opening. You're not allowed to put a hole into the seal around the top of the barrel. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Chumim matirim. Chumim say that it's fine. The Gemara will discuss where exactly their machloket is. One can't put a hole in the side of the barrel. If it already has a hole in it, you may not put wax in there. Because that's smoothing out something on Shabbat, which is a problem of memachik, one of the avot melachot. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, maseh ba lifnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai be'arev. So a case like this that came to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in Arev. Marcho shishani lo mechatat. I think he might be chayav a chatat for such behavior, for such an action. Putting the wax into the hole. I'm Rabbi Oshaya. Loshna ela drusot aval mefuradot. Look, the only case here in our mission is a case where the figs, the dry figs inside, are pressed together. But if they are separated, that's not the case. Mefuradot, lo. Why not? Why, when they're separated, can you not open up the barrel? So made vei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer mefi adam et achavit shel yayin. Person can bring a barrel of wine umetiz rosha b'saif. He can slice off the top with the sword, umenicha lifnei aruchim b'Shabbat, and you can put it in front of the guests on Shabbat. Ve'enu choshesh, there is no problem. So we see here, or the qualification that's brought, Rabbi Oshaya says that the only way that you're allowed to cut open the barrel with a big knife or with a sword is if you need that utensil for something else. That something else is breaking apart the grugorot. It's breaking up the pressed figs that were stomped on and put together. But if the figs separate without the need for that knife or that sword, then you cannot use that sword to cut open the top. The assumption being that then it's muksa. It's not a kli that you need. Since it's not a kli that you need, you can't do it. Gemara says, how's that true? We just have here Shimon Gamliel, a braita of similar nature. It says if you do with wine clearly you don't need the knife or the sword to do anything else besides cut open the barrel. And yet it's permissible. The Gemara says that's not a problem. Hayi Rabbanan. That braita that we just brought from Shimon Gamliel, that's according to the Rabbanan. Matnitan, our Mishnah is Rabbi Nechemiah. It's Rabbi Nechemiah who we've bumped into before. Rabbi Nechemiah says that you're only allowed to carry a kli on Shabbat for its primary purpose. Whatever that kli's primary purpose is, that's the only thing you can carry it for and utilize it for on Shabbat. Otherwise, it's muksa. So therefore, in the case where you have a barrel full of pressed figs, then you can carry the knife or the sword to cut the figs. Because that's what it's made for. It's a hatchet, whatever it is, that tool that is used to do that. And on your way there, you can chop the top of the barrel off to get there. On the other hand, if you have separated figs already, then you don't have permission to take the hatchet, the knife, the sword, whatever it is to cut open the figs, then you can't just carry it to cut a barrel. That's not its primary utility. You can't carry it for that. On the other hand, the bright that we just brought from Shimon Gamliel is according to the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan who say that you can carry a gli for Tzarech Gufo, Tzarech Mekomo. So here, even if it's a gli shel machdol yisur, as long as you need it, you're allowed to carry it on Shabbat. So you pick it up on Shabbat and you cut off the back of the wine barrel without any problem. That could be the only reason that you're picking it up, and that's fine. So my duchake de Rabbi Oshaya, look me matnitin k'Rabbi Nechemiah. Why would you ever set up a Mishnah like Rabbi Nechemiah? Rabbi Nechemiah is a unique, unusual position, that yachid. Why would you make him the author of our Mishnah? Ubedrusot, and talking about the case that it's pressed figs. Lukma b'furadot. Let our Mishnah be a case where the figs are separated. V'rabbanan, and let the Rabbanan be the author of our Mishnah. Amarava matnitin kashite. He had an issue in the Mishnah. There was a difficulty in the Mishnah. Mayiria detani grugorot. Why does it pick dried figs? Litne peirot. Pick any fruit or wine. Why did it pick specifically dry figs? Elish mamina b'drusot. That tells you or indicates to you that there was something unique about figs or the property of the figs that the Mishnah was after, and that is the fact that they were pressed together, stuck together. In that case, the author of the Mishnah is going to be Rabbi Nechemiah, because he's the only one who is makpid that that be the case. Tanya chado. We have one braita that says chotalot shel grugorot v'shel tamarim. These are wraps of palm branches that are put around the dried figs or around dates. The equivalent of a palm basket the ones that you make out of the leaves of the lulav, but here it's wrapped around it, completely wrapped around it, and then tied. So there you're allowed to either matir, you can untie them, umafkia, you can unravel them, v'chotech, or you can cut through them. Any of those are permissible to get to the food inside, that's fine. Tanidach, we have another bright that says matir, you're allowed to untie them, avalo mafkia, avalo chotech, but you're not allowed to unravel or cut through them. So lokasha, that's not a problem, that's either abonon ha Rabbi Nechemia. Again, the differentiation here will be, according to the Rabbanan, you can bring a knife or whatever it is, sharp object that you're bringing, and you can do any one of these items here, and that's fine. According to Rabbi Nechemia, you can't do that because you can't bring the kli except for its primary purpose. Over here, that's not one of the primary purposes, is to unravel it or to be chotech it, and that's why you would not be able to do that on Shabbat. The Tanya, and here is the opinion we've seen of Rabbi Nechemia before. Rabbi Nechemia Omer, afilu tarvad, afilu talit, afilu sakin. Even a spoon, even a beged, afilu sakin, and even a knife. The only reason that they can be carried is for their primary purpose, for their primary utility. The question was asked of Rav Sheshet. Mahu the mivraz chavita beburtaya b'shabto. What is the din with piercing a barrel with a lance on Shabbat? So here you take a lance and you push a hole into the barrel. Is that okay? Pitcha gamakavein vasir. Is he trying to make an opening in the barrel, which would be problematic on Shabbat, and therefore it's asur? Or dilma la'ayin yafek gamakavein vashari. He's trying to be generous in nature. So he has the guest there and he comes with this big lance and he pierces into the barrel to show him that lots of wine is going to be poured at this meal. Is that what he's doing? Or is he trying to get a petach? I'm laying the pitcha gamakavein vasir. Clear that he's trying to make an opening here, a nice opening, and that's why he's using a round pointed object to get in there, and that would be asur. What about the brayta that we just quoted? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, mevi adam chavit shel yain, umitiz rosha b'saif. You can bring a barrel of wine, slice off the top with a sword. Hatam vada ayin yafek kamagavin. He says that's exactly the difference. Over there, he's cutting it off because he wants to make it look like he's generous. Hacha im ita the ayin yafek kamagavin. If he really wanted to be generous and show that way, iftuch miftach, open it up. Open it up wide. The fact that he's only puncturing a hole into it indicates that he's trying to make a tap. He's trying to make a hole that is a nice petach. And that is not allowed on Shabbat. If you want to open it up, you want to be generous, you cut the whole thing open. You break open the top, the entire top. And that would be the difference in these two cases. All right, now, just to go back, since this is the source for opening of packages and items on Shabbat, I wanted to do this first part because this is one of the problems. One of the problems on Shabbat is making a petach yafeh. You're not allowed to make a nice opening on Shabbat. You're not allowed to make a clean, nice opening. That's number one. So anything that is a clean, nice opening will be problematic on Shabbat. The second thing is, we are allowed to break things open in order to serve them on Shabbat. Why? Why is it that you're allowed to do this? So Rashi says, Shover Adam Chavit, what's the reason you're allowed to break this barrel? You're allowed to open it up. Rashi says, because De'ein mekalkel shumi sur b'Shabbat. There's no Easter of mekalkel on Shabbat. You're destructive in nature, it's a destructive force, and Shabbat, mekalkel is patur. Problem with that is, but that's not really true. There's two types of mekalkel, and both of them are problematic. There's mekalkel al-maneat, leave note, or constructive-based mekalkel. If you destroy something in order to make something or do something better, then it's asur midoraita. And then there's just plain mekalkel, which is asur midorabanan. So what is Rashi saying that there ain't mekalkel b'shabbat? So the Rashba claims that Rashi is l'shitato, and we've seen this before, that Rashi believes ain't binyan b'stira b'kelim. Since there's no binyan and stira v'kelim, there's not going to be any mekalkel in kelim, because mekalkel is a derivative of that area of binyan, of destroying and building. And since there's ain't binyan and stira v'kelim, there's no mekalkel b'kelim, because all you're doing is destroying something in the keli. Therefore, according to Rashi, it's mutar the gamre, for that reason that there is ain't binyan or stira b'kelim. Tosafot says it can't be. He brings a stira from the Gemara in Eruvin. You can't say that. You can't say that breaking this barrel is fine and mekalkel is fine. Tosafot is most likely the shitato, who thinks that there is binyan and stira in kelim, and therefore just being mekalkel is not sufficient. Tosafot says our Mishnah is talking about a case, something that's mentioned in the Gemara Veitza, which is what we call a mustiki. A mustiki is a rebuilt barrel. It's a barrel that was broken already, and it was in shards or pieces already, and then you glued it back together. You pieced it back together, and now it's in one piece. So when you slice off the top, that's not really destructive or opening a petach, because the barrel was already in pieces. It was in shards beforehand. So breaking it is not such a significant act of mekalkel now. Because that's the case, that's why it's mutar on Shabbat. So Tosafot seriously narrows the heter, or what is mentioned in this Mishnah. Rashi seems to say, open anything. Just as long as you cut it, mekalkel, no problem. Tosfot limits it to these types of items where it was already broken and pieced back together. That's a very, very limiting qualification of our Mishnah. And that's why Tosfot says the Mishnah is mutar. It's because the Mishum, the Gadavka Chavit Shari Demachmat Griuto Lo Chayesale. Because it's so bad, it's an awful piece of work now, he doesn't have any consideration to keep it afterwards. And nobody would think he's going to make a kli out of this. There's no way that you're doing a nice job here. There's no way that you're making a kli here because it was already broken. You're breaking it again. The assumption is that this is going into the garbage. And that's why Tosafot says it's mutar over here. There are two other opinions or general categories of ways to deal with this Mishnah. The other one is the Ritva. The Ritva goes with the line of reasoning that Rashi does, which is that you have a case of Mekalkel here. So Mekalkel is only Asur mi derabanan. The Ritva suggests is that the Mekalkel derabanan is waived over here because of food, for Ochel. To get to Ochel, the Chachamim allowed that on Shabbat. They permitted Mekalkel. Even though there's a general Isur of Mekalkel mi derabanan, they waived it in the face of getting access to Ochel. And that's how the Ritva explains it, using Rashi's reasoning, but just explaining why it's not an Isur derabanan. The Chedushei Aran brings from the Yerushalmi that packaging and barrels and all these items are equivalent to shells of nuts. So just like by a nut, nobody would say you can't break open the shell to get to the nut inside. So the same would be true here. The barrel is like the shell around the nut, the wine is the nut on the inside. So to gain access to it, you can break open the shell. That's the equivalent of breaking a shell is opening up the barrel. Obviously you could differentiate between something that grows naturally, which is something that is put in after the fact. But the Yerushalmi at least makes that comparison, and therefore the Ran runs with it and says that that's the reasoning behind our Mishnah. Now, according to everybody besides Tosafot, you could open up packaging on Shabbat. The problem is that the Shulchan Aruch passes like Tosafot. Shulchan Aruch Halacha brings down that Tosafot is the right opinion here. That's the way they were going to paskin. And that means the only way you can open it up, if it was already bad quality, if it was already broken. That doesn't leave us many things, because most of our packages come sealed and in good shape when they get to us. Many of the poskim say, including Moshe in the Igret Moshe, who has a massive, massive tshuva on this topic, as well as Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Shmir Shabbat Yilchota, say that the type of packaging that we have today is the equivalent of a mustiki. It's not a kli that you plan on keeping. It's not something that you intend to keep afterwards. When you break open the packaging, then you rip it and it's a disposable packaging. Packaging that you intend to throw out afterwards. The one difference between them is, the Moshe says that it has to be something when you rip it open, you don't keep the food in it. You dispose of the food immediately. Or even if it is a temporary container that you will throw out after utilizing it just for this item. But Moshe compares that to the shells around food. And therefore you could open them up in any which way that you would like. On the other hand, Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying that you leave the food in it afterwards, as long as it's not something that you would keep. I mean, its utility is solely for this item, and then as soon as you finish the item that's inside, you're going to dispose of it. So it's really one-time use anyway. It just happens to be that you use it for just a little bit longer. So he claims that's also a case of mustiki. And since it has a din like a mustiki, it would only be allowed to be opened up if you didn't open it up with a petach yafeh. You didn't open up in a nice manner. Now, in these cases, you do have to rip it open in a way that does not make a petach yafeh. You can't make a nice opening. So one of the ways you can't open it is to pull apart the seal at the top. Most of the bags are heat sealed at the top. If you pull it apart nicely at the top, that heat sealing, you just made it a petach yafeh. That's exactly what you can't do. You can't make that nice petach. You have to rip it open. Be very careful. No letters, no other things that you can run into a problem when you rip on Shabbat, but you have to rip it in a way that does not create the petach yafeh. Now, the way to get around some of these problems when it's hard to open them up or you can't open them up, like for instance, reusable containers, then Rav Shlomo Zalman has a dispensation to destroy it in some way. Just make it unusable. If you cut one end and then the other end, then it becomes totally not functional and there's no petach yafeh anymore. It's just gone. The whole thing is useless. So there are ways to get around. Rav Shlomo Zalman talks about that in certain instances with bottle caps and things like that. Right, so bottles and cans is a different world, almost a little bit of a different issue. It does come up, obviously, in this topic. It's more found in the Gemara in Beitza and in other Gemaras that discuss this issue of opening packages and opening up items. The real issue with opening up is that, number one, you can't create a petach yafeh. That's one problem. And the thing is, you can't create a kli. You can't create a utensil on Shabbat. So generally, with opening up items, that's the main issue that you face. For instance, cans. Cans are very problematic. Soda cans. Soda cans that you open up, when you pull the tab to open up the top, then you're making, number one, a petach yafeh. That is a nice opening. And the likelihood is that it wasn't an opening before. That's not an opening. The way the can is made, it's made entirely sealed and the top is put on fully. And they just perforate around that area that's the tab. And then you puncture it to open up a new petach. That's a totally new petach. As opposed to what we've seen here and in the Gemara in Beitza is that if you're opening a petach that already existed, then that's not making a petach. You're just undoing what's there. We'll get to that in our Gemara in a little bit. So by cans present the biggest problem. There are those that still say that cans are okay because it's still a temporary item. It's an item that's one use.
You
throw it out. Although there's some people who put them in the fridge. If you didn't finish it, you put it into the fridge.
Finish it, you throw it out.
Right, so that's the claim of those that say that it is, but you still have the problem of petach yofeh. With these cans, that even though they are temporary disposable, you're not mekalkel when you open it up. You open up in a very nice opening, a nice way to drink, to pour from it, and that could be problematic with cans. Cans present the biggest problem on Shabbat. Bottles present mostly the problem is the cap, not the bottle itself. Most bottles are formed in such a manner that the bottle, the mouth of the bottle existed before the petach was there. The problem now is that you put the cap, cover on it. And the cover, depending on how the cover is made, will make a difference and when opening it is problematic. If the cap exists pre being put on the bottle, and it's a functional cap beforehand, you can put it onto any bottle, as long as you had, you know, the equipment to put it on, it would fit anywhere, then that would be fine to open on Shabbat, because you're not creating anything new. You had a cap before, you have a cap now, you haven't done anything new. The bigger problem, and this happens to a lot more, which is that the machines, the extruding machines, or the plastic machines that place the caps on, basically mold the cap onto the top of the bottle. By molding the cap onto the top of the bottle means that it creates the cap on top of the bottle, and then when you open it, you make it functional for the first time. Because all it was beforehand was plastic that was stamped on top of the bottle, and then you're opening it, you're now creating a cap that can be reused, open and close. That's where your biggest problem comes up. So there'll be a difference between metal and plastic, the type of ring that's around it. A lot of these items are particular to the situation of the bottle or the item, which is the real question. Are you creating a new cap? Or the cap existed before? And that's basically the question that you're going to ask with most times opening bottles. Opening up other items. So that's the other thing, which is with opening like tuna cans and other items like that. Question there, can you open them up? Rosh Shlomo Zalman is very makil with regards to if you do something destructive to the can and then open it up, that would be permissible on Shabbat. So if you puncture the bottom of the tuna can and then you take off the top, then the can's no longer used. You've been mekalkel, you've destroyed the can, you haven't opened up a petach yofeh. As opposed to if you just peel away the top, then you've made something, you've actually made a utensil, something that's useful in holding it, and you made an eighth petach yofeh. So you want to avoid that problem, and therefore you want to do something that makes it that the petach yofeh is no longer meaningful, and it's all mekalkel. So that's the suggestion that's made. It's to open it in a destructive manner. That'll come up, first of all, like with tuna cans, it comes up with tomato juice that comes in cans. Also, to push a hole in it, that'll be a problem, because you're making a petach yafe. It's creating a new petach that didn't exist before. So any of these items, you have to be careful. So the two questions that you really have to ask is there something that pre-existed here? If something that pre-existed, then you can open it. It's not a problem. Second thing is, are you making a petach yafe, or is it mekalkel? Those are the two main questions you have to ask, and generally, through those two questions, you can come up with an answer as to whether something is mutar or asur on Shabbat. Here and there are dispensations by different poskim to get around some of these issues, but that's the general principle that I would follow in terms of opening items. Okay, so paper goods might be a little more problematic. That's a good question. There are some poskim who say that paper goods are equivalent. For instance, tablecloths. Paper goods are equivalent to food items, since they're part of the meal. Therefore, you could open them on Shabbat. There are other poskim that say, no, that this dispensation is simply for food items. And therefore, opening up a package of plates on Shabbat would be problematic, because you're not supposed to open items. Even if you say the din is mekalkel, it's only mekalkel for food. And this is not a food item. And since it's not a food item, you cannot open it up on Shabbat. That you have to ask your local rav which way to go with that. That can go in either direction. It really depends on the status that you give to the plates, tablecloths. Are they classified as food items, or are they classified as non-food items? And that would make the difference whether you can open them or not on Shabbat.
We say Shabbat, but Yom Tov really no different in the sense. Och nefesh and Yom Tov is muta, but not this kind of thing, right?
Yom Tov is a lot easier. Yom Tov, there's a lot more room because many of the malachot are mutar, and that malachot go away for ochel nefesh. So therefore, if you have something that is a malacha, but it's to get to an ochel nefesh, over there you have a lot more room to work with. I'm not saying that all things are mutar. Most things are going to be the same on Yom Tov and Shabbat. There is a little more room on Yom Tov to be mekiel because of ochel nefesh and the allowance for malacha in that case. That gives you a good broad overview of the situation. All right. Ein nokvim migufa. You know how to puncture a hole in the seal around the top of the barrel. Amar Rav Huna, machloket Limalo. This is only true up top. Avo min atzad divrei kol asur. If you do it on the side, that is totally problematic. So if you do it on top, Rashi says, it's lav orach ha'arod le'mevid petachatam. Nobody makes a hole in the top to use it as the opening. So that is not normal. And that's where you have a machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether such a hole is permissible. But if you do it on the side, everybody would do it there. That's the normal place to do it. And then the Chachamim would agree that that is asur. Finally, Tiktani, and that's what it's meant in the Mishnah, lo yikaveno mitzida. Can't open it up from the side. Well, you can't put the spout in, right? You just simply makes a hole in it, and a hole in the ceiling around the seal of the barrel. He puts a hole in it and allow you to pour out. So it depends on the direction that he's putting the hole in. He's putting the hole in from the top or the top of the cover. That's not the normal place to put the hole, according to Rav Huna, and therefore it would be machloket. That's where you have the machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. Whereas if you put it on the side, which is a normal place to put a hole to pour, it's an easy way to pour out of the barrel, there it would be problematic according to everyone. That's Rav Huna's position. Rav Chisda says, machloket min atzad. Machloket is actually when you put the hole on the side. Well, ba, divrei kol mutar. That everybody agrees that it's mutar on the top. On the top, that's not a hole. That's not a spout. That's not an opening. Nobody does that. It's on the side. That's a question. When you do it at the top, by the seal, is that considered to be new or not? Is that considered to be problematic? Is that a petach yofe? V'haktani, what about the mission that says, lo yikavena mitzida? What about the fact that you're not allowed to push it into the side? Hatam, begufa dechavit. That's in the barrel itself. But we're talking about here, all along, is the cover and the seal around the cover. That's where you're puncturing the hole. When the mission says you're not allowed to put a hole in the side, that's the side of the barrel. That's like putting it where you'd put in a tap on the side of the barrel. You put a hole on the side of the barrel, that is osur, according to everybody, because that really is an opening. That's the typical type of opening that you put into a barrel. Same thing that you have on the side of your urn. If you have a tap on the side of the urn, you put it lower down on the barrel so that all the wine that's above it would drain out through that hole, and that's how it would be your opening. Then you plug the hole. Tanu Banan, Ein Nogvim Nekev Chadash B'Shabbat. You cannot put in a new hole on Shabbat. Vim Balo Sif Musif. But if you want to add on to an existing hole, that's fine. V'yesh Omrim Ein Musifin. And some say that you can't even add on to a hole. V'shavin Shenogvim Nekev Yashan L'Chadchila. And everybody agrees you can reopen a hole that pre-existed. So that's a basic principle, again, what we said before. If you're opening something that was already open, that's not creating a petach on Shabbat. The petach existed. You're just reopening the existing petach. Now, assuming, again, that the petach is not sealed in such a way that it negates the petach. If you seal it in such a way that it negates the petach, then it's like opening a new petach again.
Like a wet petach.
Right, so the Gemara will talk about different materials, but you're right. If there's a material that seals it up properly, then it's its equivalent of opening a new hole when you open it again. If it's patched up or sealed in a way that's temporary, that you can take it in and out, then that's clearly allowed on Shabbat because the petach pre-exists, and the pre-existing petach is allowed. Everybody agrees you can reopen a hole. You cannot open a new hole. The only question here is, am I looking here whether you can add on to an existing hole or not? Tana kama maishnami nekev chadash, delo kamatakein pitcha, osifi, nami kamatakein pitcha. I don't understand. The Gemara says, okay, let me understand the Tana kama's position. Tana kama's position is you can't open a new hole. Why? Because that's metakin kli. That's opening up a new petach. That's creating something new. The problem, as Rashi says, of Gemar Malacha. You're doing something that finishes off this kli, makes it usable now. That's problematic. So now, when you expand the opening that's there, you're doing the same thing. Yes, the opening existed, but you're making it more functional. You're making it better. By doing that, you're also metaking kli. You're also doing a Gemar Malacha. If that's the case, you should also be Chayaf Osufi Mosif. How does the Tana Kama differentiate between the two? Versus, we have the second opinion, the Esh Omrim, that say equate the two. So that's fine. He says that opening a new hole and adding onto a hole are the same. They're both asur. According to the Tana Kama, who differentiates, how does he differentiate? So Amar Rabba, Dvar Torah, Bo petach she'enu asur lachnis olutzi, enu petach. Any opening that is not made for, say, a bidirectional petach, it's not called a petach. A petach means you go in and you go out. It's made for both purposes. Rabbanan hu degozer mishum lul shel tarna golim. And so the reason that you're not allowed to make holes is because of this unique circumstance. It was a chicken coop. In the chicken coop, when you puncture a hole in it, we saw this earlier in the Masechta with regards to bona, that drilling a hole into the chicken coop is considered to be bona kosho because you've now opened up an opening that allows for airflow. It allows for good air to come in and the bad air to exit the chicken coop. You just created ventilation. So that small hole is a hole that has bidirectional use. You can have a small hole that creates bidirectional uses, and it would be problematic on Shabbat. So Rabbanan would gozer on holes in general, when you puncture holes, even though they're unidirectional holes, there goes there up to the case of Lul Shel Tarna Golim, where you don't even realize that you're making a bidirectional hole. Most people hail, if you just make a small hole, then it's unidirectional. But we do have a case where it's bidirectional by the chicken coop. So the Chachamim were gozer by unidirectional holes to say, don't do that, because you may not realize that you're actually making a bidirectional hole. Now here it turns out that the hole by the barrel is a unidirectional hole. You don't put wine into the barrel that way. You simply remove wine through that hole. So it actually is a unidirectional hole, which is it simply allows the wine to come out. So midoraita, it's not a problem. What we're talking about here is an iser derabanan. That iser derabanan is premised on this lul shel tarnagolim. That is it. So now, the gzeira of lul shel tarnagolim is the avid liyulei avira lefukei chavla. That hole in the chicken coop is made to bring in fresh air and to allow the bad air to leave. Correct. So it depends. If you pour from both holes, then you might actually have a bidirectional hole now. Because then sometimes using it to let air in, and the other times you're letting the liquid out. There, by the way, if you make one hole in those types of cans, that might be a bidirectional hole. They don't discuss this, but the physics are that if you open up a can with one hole, it has to both allow air into that hole and allow the liquid to exit through that hole.
It just goes slower. Because
it's doing both. Exactly. But it becomes a bidirectional hole. It might be actually an iser de oraita. Here, the Gemara doesn't discuss that issue at all, but it's true that in these instances, when you open a single hole, it actually becomes a bidirectional hole, because it has to allow air in and to let the vacuum out. But their barrels weren't vacuum sealed, so you don't have that issue of letting the air in anymore, because they weren't airtight. Unless you're airtight, you don't have that problem. It's vimba losif musif. He can add on. Why? Usife vade belushal targanim lo ate leusufe. So here, when it comes to adding on, by elushal targanim, nobody's going to come to add on mishum richasha, because of the problem of creepy crawly things getting into your chicken coop. You're going to limit the size of the hole to simply be for ventilation, but not big enough to let in whatever vermin or other animals that will get in there and cause problems for the chickens. So you're going to limit the size of it. So if you make the gzeira or this takanat chachamim about putting holes into the lul tarnagolim, it simply revolves around making the actual hole. So that's what he says here. David Liuli, if you're vukiyava, vimbalo sif, mosif, if you want to add on to a hole, you can add on, because the sufi evadi belushal gim will add to the sufi. We don't have a chashash that you're going to expand the hole in the lul shel tarnagolim. So we're not, the gzeira can now not be extrapolated or extended to putting in holes. The Rabbanan don't expand them. Because there's nothing to parallel to say that expanding the hole is problematic. So over here, by our barrel, to drill a new hole, it's a problem with the Rabbanan of putting a hole in because of alto lul shel tarnagolim. To add on to the hole, it's not problematic because the only Easter here was an Easter de Rabbanan to start with. So to add on to the hole is not incorporated in that Easter de Rabbanan, because adding on to the lul tarnagolim won't happen. What happened is because then it becomes problematic in terms of the lul. You open up too big a hole, you let in all these things that you don't want in there. Then what's the reasoning behind the other opinion in that bright? That says you're not allowed to add on. So because zimnin delo takne miikara vate larvache be. So there's some times that you don't get it right the first time. You drill too small a hole. You didn't drill a perfectly shaped hole. So then you go to fix it afterwards. You go to widen it out. And you're widening it out not to the size where it's going to become problematic, but simply to get to the size that you want it. So there are times where you're osife, and it would be asur. And the gzera derbanan, takanat chachamim, expands to asufi as well. So that's the machloka between the Tanakama and the Yeshomrim, is as to whether there is a takanat chachamim with regards to adding on to an existing petach. Does that happen by the lul shel tarnagolim? It does not happen. In the end, the halacha is like the Yeshomrim, and even adding on to an existing hole or existing petach is problematic. Tosafot mentions over here that, what about the fact that we worry about you opening up a new hole? Why do we say that if we allow you to expand the hole, you also open up a secondary hole? Because by the lul shel tarnagolim, you won't be willing to expand the hole, but what you will do is drill a second hole. If we allow you to expand holes or open up petachim, maybe you'll end up drilling a second hole. So Tosfot says, "V'atu pitcha grino leka lamecha shlirichasha lo gazrinan." The davka atu lul shel tarnagolim gazrinan to lo maske inchi adatayu shu asur achnish lo tzi. Which is what I mentioned before, that people don't think about this. They don't think when you put in a hole that you're actually making a bidirectional hole. Just something so small, it's just something so minute that they think, okay, what's the big deal? I'm putting in a hole here. It's not really a petach. And that's the problem here. The problem is that people won't think about that, and then they'll come to put in a hole that's really a petach, that's boneh, that's a problem of gemar malacha, it's a real petach. So that's what we're choshish for. We're not worried about people now starting drilling a million holes and doing things boneh on Shabbat. That's not our fear. Fear is something where people would have a misconception or forget and do something on Shabbat. And that's only true when you drill that first hole, we put in a small hole. That's what we're worried about. And so all the gzeirot extend from that particular issue. Next is v'shavin shnogvim nekev yashan lachatchila. The Braita said that you're allowed to reopen an old hole. So Amrav Yehuda Meshmo loshanu ela b'makom asui l'shamer. That's true where it's a point where you're being shomer, aval chazeik asur. If it's a place where you need to be machzikit, that you have to put the kli in to hold it tight, then you can't do this. This is what we were just talking about, Fred, before. Depends what type of seal you put back in there. If you put it back in there like a stopper that says, we're going to reopen it, close it, and open it. You're not trying to recreate the barrel or the wall of the barrel. And simply that to stop the flow coming out or stop the air from going in. In that case, right, putting a cork in a bottle, the same thing, that would be totally fine on Shabbat, and it's fine to put in, fine to open. The problem is when you reseal it to really make the barrel, again, I mean, that's what they did. When you finish with the barrel, you reseal the hole, and then you can reuse the barrel again. So if you cork it in such a way that it's now back to being the original barrel, that will be problematic on Shabbat. Hechi dami lishmar, hechi dami lechazek. So Mar wants to know, tell me, how do I know where's that threshold between sealing and remaking the barrel, meaning finishing off the hole? So Amar Rav Chisda, the mala min yayin zeu l'shamer. Mata min yayin zeu l'chazek. So Rav Chisda's opinion is that when you're above the level of the wine, that's when you're simply putting in a stopper. You don't have to rebuild the wall. You don't have to strengthen the wall because nothing's going to come out unless you pour towards that hole. That's called a cork. That's called a stopper. That's fine to reopen on Shabbat. The other hand, if you're below the wine level, then when you cork it up, you're seriously corking it up. You don't want it to come out anymore. You're afraid of it dripping, leaking. You want it to be sealed properly. If you seal it properly, then you want to reopen on Shabbat. That's problematic because that's going to be sealed in a fine way. Rabba Amar, the Bach changed the Gizri to Rabba. Rabba Amar, Mata min ayayin, nami zeu l'shamer. Even below the wine level, that's also called corking or stopping. That's not called remaking the barrel. Where's the case when you're really remaking the barrel? That's the case, the hole is below the sediment level of the barrel. There, you don't need a hole. You don't want a hole over there because then the sediment's going to come out. That's not what you want to happen over here. So there, if you reseal that hole, you're intending to reseal that hole permanently. You want to leave it sealed. You're not planning on reopening that hole. The hole that you're planning on reopening is the one that has the wine level in it. And that's the way Rabba learns. Amarle Abaye, and again, since we changed the gears above to Rabba, it would be here. Amarle Abaye the Rabba. Tanya de Misayelach. We have a brayta that supports your position. Bait Satum. You have a house that's sealed in. Yesh lo arba amot. It gets 4 amot. Paratzet petzimav in lo dar amot. Does not get 4 amot. So this is a din in Baba Batra. The Gemara in Baba Batra discusses about a chatzer, a joint courtyard between many houses that face into the courtyard. They want to subdivide the area of the courtyard. It's joint property. How do we subdivide the courtyard? The Gemara Baba Batra says that anybody who has a doorway that opens into the courtyard, they automatically get 4 amot. For the width of their doorway, that is their own piece or parcel. That's their 4 amot. Whatever exists beyond that, that's called shared property, and that's how you split it up. You split it up based on that, the shared property. But everybody's entitled. For instance, if you have a house that has 2 doorways into the courtyard, another has another, only 1 doorway into the courtyard, the one with 2 doorways into the courtyard will be entitled to 2 sections of 4 amot that belong to him before the division takes place, because each doorway is entitled to that amount in the courtyard. Now what happens if you have a bait satum? The house is sealed up. They bricked up the door. So now if you bricked up the door, are you still entitled to the 4 amot outside of that door? The brayta says yes, bait satum yesh lo 4 amot. Your sealed house, you get a 4 amot if the doorway still exists. If you bricked up the door, you still get the 4 amot. When do you not get the 4 amot? Paratze pitzimav. If you break away the door frame. If you destroy the door frame, then brick it up. Then it's no longer a door, and it does not count towards the arba amot. Then you don't get arba amot. Bai is suggesting that that is parallel to what Rabba said over here, that if you seal it up in such a way that you can possibly reopen it, that you would reopen it, then that's still called a petach, and it's fine to open on Shabbat. You reseal it in a way that you're not going to open it up anymore. That's not called a petach anymore. That's called barrel. That's called a wall now. That would be a sword to open up on Shabbat, similar to what the Gemara here says in Baba Batra. Get rid of the door frame. That's the equivalent here of making a seal that you don't plan on reopening anymore. Bait Satum, the same thing here with the Bait Satum, Enu Mitameh Kol Svivav. Rashi claims that the right here is speaking about a case where the house is completely sealed and there's a mate inside the house. So the house now becomes a kever, the equivalent of a burial area. And there's a Gzirat Chachamim that any kever gets 4 amot around it. Paratze Pitzimav, Mitameh Kol Svivav. So if you have a Bait Satum, if it's sealed in, Enu Mitameh Kol Svivav. It doesn't have a din of a kever because the doorway still exists. Doorway still exists, it doesn't have a din of a kever. Whenever you don't get the 4 amot around it, they're not problematic. On the other hand, if you seal in the door, you break down the door frame, now it becomes a kever. Since it becomes a kever, it has that takana chachamim that the kever 4 amot around it is problematic. The reason they did that was to prevent people from coming within 4 amot of the kever and being mahil on the mate. So since they wanted to avoid that, there's no demarcation of where the kever ends. So they made the whole 4 amot around it problematic so people stay away from getting close to it. That's what Rashi claims happens over here. Tosafot does not like that explanation for a number of reasons. One of them is that there's really no problem of oil over here. It's a house. It's a structure. It's not hard to know where the end of the wells are. Tosafot in the end defends Rashi's position and says actually with the house, would make a difference because the walls would become tameh, and you'd be tameh if you were nogea by the walls. So maybe you would want this four mode around it to prevent people from touching the walls that are around the house. It also gives an alternative, which is that in general, when it comes to a mate inside of a house, if you take the mate out of one of the doorways, then that doorway becomes tameh. The other openings of the house do not have that din of tumah because the mate will not go out that way. So if you have a primary way where the mate's going to go out, that saves all other openings in the house from becoming tameh. So over here, if you have this doorway and you have other small openings throughout the house, are those openings saved by this doorway or not? That's the way that he explains it. He brings the name of Rebbeinu Shimshon that explains it this way. And therefore, if the door still exists, even though it's bricked up, that'll save the other openings. If the door frame is gone, then you no longer have a opening, and then all the openings are classified as being the possible way out from the house, and therefore they will all become tameh. It's a din in Tumat Oalim, but he says that's what the Gemara is discussing here. Again, none of this is necessarily particularly meaningful to our sugya, except for the fact that there's a differentiation between when something is called a petach and not called a petach. If the structure of the frame, door frame, and the structure of the petach is still there, it's still a petach, even if it's bricked in. If you take out the door frame, then it's no longer considered to be a doorway, anymore a petach. And the same will be true here by the barrel. If it's something that still has the structure of the hole left in it, and something that you would open and close, that's considered to be a petach, and it's not problematic to open on Shabbat. Something that you've now basically taken away the petach, you've made it in such a way that it's now part of the barrel, and it can be used again, the barrel, without any opening, that is considered to be a seal, and then when you open it, that new opening is problematic. Gufta. Next thing is a piping. This is the equivalent of putting in a tap into the barrel. If you have a hollow straw that you're trying to insert into the hole, what's the din of putting it in on Shabbat? Rav Asar, Rav says you cannot put it in on Shabbat. Shmuel Shari. Shmuel says you can put it on Shabbat. Michatech lechatchila. If you're cutting the straw or the hollow tube that you're going to put in there, then of course, that you cannot do on Shabbat. That's mitaking. That's mitaking kli. That's making something perfectly sized. That is clearly a problem on Shabbat. Ahadure to kli amalo pligi d'shari. If the tube was once in there and you took it out and then you put it back in, no problem on Shabbat. It's a pre-existing tube. It's a pre-existing petach. You're totally fine. Ki pligi de chaticha velo mitakno. It's a case where he already cut it, but he never inserted it. So it was cut to size, but was never inserted. The one who says Asur Rav says that we're worried that if we allow him to put it in here for the first time, he might think that you can cut to start with. You can make a piping to put in there in the first place. Mandashari lo gazrinan, we're not gozer in that case. These are different. One was cut before. The other one you're thinking about cutting to start with. Kitanai, this is similar to a makhloket tanaim that we have. Ein chutchim shpoferet biyom tov. One cannot cut a piping on yom tov. Ein tzarech lomar b'shabbat. And certainly not on Shabbat. Nafla, if it fell out, makzir nota b'shabbat. You can put it back in on Shabbat. Ein tzarech lomar biyom tov. And certainly on yom tov. So those are the two extremes that we explained before. That to put in a pipe to start with, or cut a pipe to start with, is clearly problematic. Two, return a pipe is not problematic at all. That's what we said before in Rav and Shmuel. Here's the machloket. Rabbi Yoshia Mekil. So Rabbi Yoshia is Mekil. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshia, ahai. What is Rabbi Yoshia Mekil about? Ilema Reisha. If you don't have the case where he's cutting the piping, ha mekametakin mana. He's making a kli. There's no question there if you're making a kli that it's a sur. Nobody would say that is mutar, so it can't be that Rabbi Yoshia is saying that's where it's mutar. Ela seifa. And the seifa is the case where he's returning the pipe. There, Tanakama Nami Mishre Koshari. Tanakama also says it's mutar. What do you mean he's mekil? Everybody says it's mutar. Ela dechaticha velo metakna. The difference between them must be this case of pre-cut, but not inserted. Ike benayu, mar sabra gazrinim, mar sabra lo gazrinim. So we have a machlok etanaim that parallels the machlok between Rav and Shmuel. There, the piping is no longer a problem because the piping was pre-cut and you can insert it. The bigger problem is opening it, putting the hole in the first place. Because there you're making a petach yofeh, especially in Israel with the Capri Sun, the way they make them, they don't have a hole. There's no pre-existing hole. You have to actually punch the hole in. Juice boxes, they already have a hole, but the question is how the silver foil on the inside is made. How did it's made there? It might again be that it's totally sealed, and then you're puncturing a hole for the first time. And again, that could be a petach yofeh and create a problem. So there is petach problem, not the straw problem. All right. Now, Darash of Shisha Brei, the Rav Adi Mishmei, the Rav Yochanan Lochik, Rav Yoshia. The Loch is like the Mekel, meaning like Rav Yoshia, like Shmuel, that as long as it's pre-cut, the straw, so you can use the straw on Shabbat, that's not a problem. Again, the problem is if you don't have the pre-existing petach. To make the petach is a problem, but if you have a pre-existing petach, you can insert the straw into it as long as it was pre-made, the straw. V'mayta nikuva. So if it's already open, you're not allowed to put the wax, we said in the Mishnah, into the hole, because that's mimareach, that's smoothing out the wax. Mishcha. What about a case of putting in oil into that area? Gemara says, Rav Asar, Ushmuel Shuri. Rav says it's Asur, Shmuel says it's Mutar. Manda Asar, the one who says it's Asur, because you're in a mishum shava. It's a gzera because you might use wax. Obviously, the oil itself is not problematic here because it doesn't have the same properties as wax. Rashi says it's shemen av. It's very thick oil. So it's because it's thicker oil, therefore it has some properties of a solid in some ways, but it's not exactly a solid. So it itself wouldn't have been asur. The problem is that if we allow you to use very thick oil, you'll come to use wax. Man deshari, Shmuel says it's mutar lo gazrinan. Amalei Rav Shmuel bar bar chan al Rav Yosef, peferu shemart lan mishmei derav mishkoshari. You told us before that in the name of Rav that it was mutar. And that here we have Rav saying it's asur. And he's saying to Rav Yosef, you told us before that Rav said it's mutar. And this happens many times to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef fell ill in his lifetime, in the middle of his life, fell very ill. He forgot everything that he had learned, and then he relearned it again. So you'll see his Talmud Abaye many times saying to him, you told us before, da 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 da, because Rav Yosef had forgotten everything that he had learned because of the illness. And this might be one of these instances where someone's reminding him, hey, you told us the name of Rav that it was Mutar. Again, could be that situation. Here the Gemara doesn't address it, whether it was before or after, but maybe it was something that they had heard from before he was sick. Amar Tvut Rishba, Tvut is his name. Rishba is a fowler, someone who is a bird catcher, a bird hunter. So Tvut Rishba, Amar Shmuel, Hai Tarfa de Asasur. I heard from Shmuel that putting in a myrtle leaf to be the spout is problematic on Shabbat. My daima. Because you're making a spout, it's a gzera of what we call gutters. The equivalent of making a gutter on Shabbat. You're fixing the leaf in a way that it becomes a gutter. So that's what the problem is. It's mitakin kli. Tosafot brings in the name of Rav Porat that it's a problem. Maybe you'll make a gutter on your roof. If we allow you to make this gutter for the barrel, you'll make a gutter on your roof. You think making gutters is okay. Tosafot says he thinks that Rashi's right. He thinks that's a better explanation because who's going to come to make a gutter on their roof just because they're allowed to make a spout out of their barrel? Rav Ashi Amar Gzer Shem Yiktom. The problem is not making the spout itself, but that we're afraid you're going to pick the myrtle leaf off the branch in order to make it. Now, it doesn't have to be a branch that's mechuber lekarka, even if it's ready to lush. The problem is that when you pick it off, you're making matak and kli, because you're making something now that is functional out of this leaf. Before, when it was attached to the branch, it wasn't. And now when you pick it or cut it, you're cutting it down to a size that you want. So my binayu, what's the nafkamina between the reason of whether it's mishum barzev or mishum yiktom? Ikbinayu, the cut imumanchi, case where it's already cut. You have the leaves already separated from the twig, they're separated from the branch. In that case, according to Rav Ashi, it would not be a problem. There's no Shem Yiktom anymore. It's already picked. They're already shaped to size. For Rav Yemar, it would still be a problem because you're making it into a marzev. You're making it into a spout. Beis Adyo, linen sheets. Rav Asar, Ushmuel Shari. Rav says it's Asur, Shmuel says it's Mutar. Now these Beis Adyo are like linen sheets or like pillows, almost things that they used to sit on. It was something that was used to place under the individual to sit on. So they are a harder linen and said they're not normally worn. Now this person wants to bring it to sit on. So what is he going to do? He's going to wear the sheet in order to bring it. Is that mutar? Rav says it's asur, Shmuel says it's mutar. Now, birakin, if it's a very soft linen, everybody says it's mutar, because people would wear that as a clothing. The linen is soft enough to be usable as clothing, and therefore it would be mutar to carry it in such a way. Bikashin, if it's hard or rough, then we would not allow you to bring it. Kuliyama loplegid asur. It's kuliy asur because nobody would wear such clothing because it's abrasive. Something that you wouldn't put on, and everybody agrees it's asur. Ki pligay bimitzei. They argue about the middle case. Not too soft, not too hard. That middle case. So people normally wouldn't wear it for clothing, but they would if they are under pressure. They would wear it. In that case, mandasar, the one who says it's asur mechse kemasoy, looks like you're carrying it. People don't usually wear this type of clothing, so it looks like you're carrying it. Mandashari lo mechse kemasoy, the one who says that it's mutar. All right, sometimes people wear clothing of this type of quality or material, and therefore we're not going to say that he's carrying it. It's like he's wearing it. The fact that Rav is osir over here, we didn't hear explicitly, but we inferred it from another statement. Because the Rav iklo lahawatra, Rav went to a certain city, dulavalei Ravko. They didn't have enough space for the Talmidim. Nofik yativ bekarmelit. He went out and sat in the Carmelite in order to give more space. They were in a house. The house didn't have sufficient space for the Talmidim. So he went out into the Carmelite to give more space. Aitule besajo. They brought him a besajo to the Carmelite. Velo yativ. And he did not sit on it. He refused to sit on it. Man the Chazal Savar, the one who saw this or saw this event, thought Mishum the Beis Adyo Asur, that the bringing out the Beis Adyo is Asur because it's considered to be a Masui and not clothing. So therefore it was Asur. Rav, well, like Tashitato, according to what we said before. Obviously we're talking about a case where it's Mitzei, it's a middle quality type of material, because otherwise then there's no inference here. Velohi, and that's really not why Rav didn't sin on it. The Rav Achruze Machriz Beis Adyo Shari. Rav himself had said publicly that it's mutar. Because of the kavod of some of the Talmidim, he didn't sit on it. And those are Talmidim, Man Ninu, Rav Kahana, Rav Asi. Kahana, Rav Asi were Talmidim of Rav, but they were Talmidei Chameirim. They were Talmidim that also had peer status with him. And Rav felt uncomfortable sitting on a beis hadin on this pillow or on this linen pile if his other talmidim didn't have it. Thought it wasn't respectful. So the reason he didn't sit on it was a matter of kavod, not a matter of issue for Shabbat. They wanted to infer from there, but it wasn't a proper inference, because the reason behind Rav's refusing to sit on it had nothing to do with Isser Shabbat, it had to do with kavod chachamim. I would just quickly do like the Mishnah. Just nodim tavshil utoch habor. If you have a cooked item, you're allowed to put it into a pit in order to be shomer, to keep the heat. Bishvil she'eish shomor, in order that it stays hot. As an insulator, you can put it into the pit. Et amayim yafim b'rayim, you can put potable water into a place that does not have potable water in order to keep it cool. Bishvil she'itzanenu, so it stays cold. Ve'etatzonim b'chama, you can take cold water and put it out in the sun. Bishvil she'ichamu, in order that it heats up. Mish meshru keilav b'derech, someone whose clothing became wet, soaked, on the way, b'mayim, with water. Rash here in the Masechta says he was in the rain. Tazur over here says he thinks that's wrong. He thinks that he passed through a river. He walked through a river, he fell into a puddle, whatever it was, his clothing is now soaked. So malach behen, he can continue walking with them with this soaked clothing on. Ve'enu chushesh, you don't have to worry about the fact that it looks like you wandered the clothing. It looks like a problem of schita, we don't worry about that. As soon as he gets to the outer area of the city where he can now carry them, take them off, he puts them out, b'chama, you can set them out in the sun to dry, as long as it's not facing the people. Sometimes people can't see that he's doing it because it looks like he's wandering on Shabbat, so you have to hide it from the people. The Gemara will get into it with a big sugya of Ma'arat Ayin. Based on this, that's tomorrow's daf. Now, pshita, what's the question? Of course you can put a cooked dish into a pit. Maybe he'll come to smooth out the bottom of the pit so the pot will sit nicely. We don't worry about that. Pshita, again, that's simple. Why can't you put potable water inside of water that is not potable? When it says safe eat strictly, it's a tzonein b'chama. You're allowed to put cold water out into the sun. Hanami pshita. Why can't you put cold water into the sun? Maybe you'll come to put it or bury it into remets on Shabbat, which would be a problem of cooking the water on Shabbat, problem of bishul of water on Shabbat, mashmalan, that is not the case, and we don't worry about you putting things into the sun to be heated up. Okay, we'll stop over here.